Okay, well, meeting is called to order. We will, we have a quorum, and so we will move ahead. We have, you have in front of you the agenda and the consent agenda. Motion for approval.
Approved. Second.
Approved and second. Approved without objection. Let's see. We have, we are down to public comments, and I don't think we have any public. We have... Well, there's Jeff.
Do you want to do a public comment?
Okay, yeah, please.
Take your comment.
Chair Dawson?
Yes.
Director Miller?
Here.
Director Jacobson?
Here.
Director Wilkins?
Here.
Director Kelly?
Here.
And Vice Chair Wilbur and Director Wall are excused. You have quorum.
Thank you. Okay. We have the Finance Committee report, and Jack is not here. So we put it off last month. I guess we'll just put it off this month.
You could. You also just approved financials under consent agenda. Director Wilbur submitted his chair report in writing as part of the packet. Zach can go through it, or you can wait.
Okay, well, let's do that. Zach, please.
All right. The Finance Committee met and recommended both May and June financials to the board. This, what I'm about to read, I'm going to summarize it, is from Director Wilbur from the meeting itself. We did meet on July 28th. Summary for the May financials were the following. The debt reserve cash on hand and budget had been added to the list of liquid assets. It is not a new asset. Operating cash, previously it was only operating cash and investment cash that was reported. The debt reserve cash was added with the change in reporting liquidity to make it a little bit easier to understand reporting cash. It was reported that the LNG costs per MCF were lower because IG purchases exceeded the minimum volume commitment, MVC, in May. The dashboard for the May financials continued improving with the ending year-to-date cost per MCF about $2.20 lower than budgeted. It was about $1.96 per MCF lower, lower than budget. The projected cost per unit was $1.96 lower than budget. Trailing average continues to trend down, which is all positive indications of good financial status. And that is all for May. Jumping into June. So June was the end of year financial summary following the fiscal year 26. The ending numbers of what were reported are subject to audit. They are currently being audited right now. Our inventory levels went from about 15,000 gallons below budget in May to about 847,000 gallons above budget in June. Management took advantage of the pricing advantage for LNG now that we had exceeded our minimum MVC and purchased more LNG. Our projections are still reaching the minimum MVC for fiscal year 27. As I mentioned earlier, the Finance Committee did accept the June financial subject to audit and pass without objection. And the last item to note was the dashboard, and it demonstrated that on a per unit MCF basis, significantly lower than budget, driven by more gas sales along with a delayed startup in the harvest plant on the North Slope. As far as just a summary of the financials, ending fiscal year 26 was a good year. It helps when it's cold. And we're pivoting off of that good financial status into fiscal 27. Cash is at a good level along with our inventory level. So out knocking on some wood, hopefully for a good fiscal year 27. And that is all to report from the Finance Committee meeting.
Thank you, Zach. Okay, questions, Gary?
Thank you. Zach, could you look at page 18? And this may be a standard question. Is there anything on, I know this is important information, and this is a new graph, and now that it's filling itself out, is there anything on this chart that either we should be really pleased with or we should be really concerned with?
No, I mean, you can step in after. I don't. I mean, as a holistic chart, yes. I mean, everything on it is relevant to our operations. So, to say one is more important than the other, I would not say that. It's more. I would say just as a holistic chart, it's just all the data is very important. So that's why we trimmed it. So. One thing over another, no, I would not say, but as a general chart, it is one of our more important tools. You can add what you like or don't like about it.
Maybe a phrase my question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything on here that's troublesome or we should be pleased with? Not one line over another. Or taking into it.
Well,
The only line that really matters on this chart is the red line. The red line is what actually happened in comparison, and then the rest of them are there to give comparison. So the red line is what our LNG levels actually were throughout the year. And then on your axis there, you can see how much LNG we had in storage at any given time. The blue line is what we had budgeted when we made the budget. There were a lot of assumptions that did not end up materializing, the most significant of which being when the North Slope facility would start up. The rest of the lines represent how much LNG we had as measured in days of supply at any given point. And those two fluctuate quite a bit because at one moment we could assume that, for example, the hospital is burning at full-fledged, and then the next day they turn off, so we assume for the next 20 days they won't, right? And so there's some artificial inflation and deflation of those lines. If now, all of this is for last fiscal year, and so I wouldn't be worried or very pleased necessarily with any particular data point on this chart as we're looking backwards. The most concerning one, and the one that, if I were a board member, I would want to assurance from management that it would not happen again, is that steep decline from December to February. That was rather abrupt. It was, of course, it was a lot colder than any of us anticipated, but at the same time, there were some logistical challenges there that contributed. So that's what I would be most concerned with. What I would continue being pleased with is the fact that maybe just one moment there in March, we were under the 10 days of supply line, but we maintained it above that without interrupting any interruptible customers. That is something that as a management team we're proud of. And then we ended the fiscal year in a good position, both in terms of our end goal, how much supply we want, and putting us in a better position for this fiscal year now, because all of the, where's the MVC met, is that purple line, and so anything, nope.
Pink.
Anything that we purchased beyond that date was at the half price, essentially for liquefaction, and all of that went into inventory, which will then be used and were burned this fiscal year, given our first in, first out principles, which then was one of the levers that we were able to pull in order not to increase rates this year.
So what is the, why are the two red dots? What does that tell us? That's number two. What's the one to the left there?
So that was the, that right there is the date when we reached our minimum volume commitment with Harvest. And then the line to the right is what the lowest inventory level was throughout the year. So those are two metrics that we track, making sure that we're, you know, we have an idea of where our lowest inventory is.
Jared.
Go ahead.
Okay. So that also has a red dot. Is that just, I guess that's what's confusing me.
Pink is to the left. Red is in the middle. A little bit different.
Oh,
hard to see.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And I see that. I didn't see that before, but now I do. We went in 6 weeks. We went from 4 million to 1.5 million gallons. That's what that says. Isn't it?
Oh,
three.
Can I get that off the list?
Yeah, I think it's three. No. Four to.
Yeah.
The red line.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's 1-0. Okay, well, I know that's really important stuff, and we used to get it in a table form, and you took the time to put it in a graph, so it, now it's starting to fill itself out. So that's really good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Derek.
You probably mentioned this in previous meetings, but can you explain to me how the 20-day supply line falls below the 10-day supply line?
Mm-hmm.
Not intuitive to me.
Yes. The 20-day supply line assumes total depletion of the of all of the inventory that we have. The 10-day supply line is our contract line. In our contract with Harvest, we are able to claim that we need to go get more LNG from a different source than Harvest, and Harvest has to pay cover, which is they would have to pay any amount that we extra as compared to the cost that would have been landed from them. We have to demonstrate that we cannot maintain more than 10 days of supply. However, that assumes that we are keeping what we call tank bottoms, which is the amount of LNG that is necessary in order to keep keep the tanks cold, which is about 10% of any LNG tank.
The 10-day supply line holds in that tank bottom.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on the financial report? Okay. Well, thank you, Zach. You seem to complete it quite a bit quicker than Jack. No, never mind those.
You take that off the record.
Okay, I think, George, you're up with an operation report.
All right, so construction's clipping right along, where we're going to be bumping up against, at the time of this report, it was 13,000 feet of mainline. We're pushing just against 3 miles right now, so making good progress on that front, working our way through all the service lines that have been applied for. On the storage and distribution side, slow and steady, working our way through all of our inspections. We've seen a big uptick in the turn-ons on the distribution side. A lot of that's tied into the new service line installations and that there's a larger pool to pull out of. And we've got a whole lot of storage site projects that are going on right now, just all over the place. Nothing eventful to report on Titan, just cleaning up after years of operation. Still prepping for the PHMSA audit in September. We did get a chance to go up north, Jeremiah and I, and do a tour through the Harvest facility and kind of take a peek at how they're managing it and try to build our confidence level of how things are going up that way. And everything looked fantastic and was really glad to see. And then the first of our trailers have arrived. And if any of you are going to the ribbon cutting at Middle Fork's new shop tomorrow, those will be there and available to take a look. That one will be there and available to take a look at. other than that, I'll answer any questions you have, but things have been busy but smooth.
Gary.
Ribbon cutting tomorrow?
Yes.
What time?
You should have received an invite.
It's in your packet.
Okay.
Page 38.
Ribbon cutting at 5 p.m. tomorrow. And Gary, I know you had wanted to see one of the trailers, so if you can't make that ribbon cutting, I'll reach out to you and make sure we set up a time for that.
Thank you. Do you have more questions here?
No, I'm sorry. Okay. No, I'm done. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's go to the general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have our next borough assembly update. It was rescheduled from July to August 6th, so this Thursday. We're working on grant agreements for the $3 million congressionally directed spending and preparing for the next targeted airship grant. If I have a little bit more details on that, that would be available if the board desires an executive session. We're continuing to do business development, working with several different entities in order to advertise the excess volumes that we have available on the North Slope, excess LNG volumes. There's more information about that I can share in executive session. Piggybacking on something that George just said, just to make it very clear, we're getting to a time in our construction season now that we're going to go through a lot more scrutiny in terms of except we're approving new main lines to be constructed in addition to our typical ones in terms of cost and ability to add to the schedule. We're now going to prioritize larger customers or customers who are building new builds, and if they go on oil would not become IG customers for next 20 years, etc. Because we are now bumping against timelines. We still need to permit main lines, and we need to be able to install them and then fix asphalt, which is more likely to be a need in the case of mainline installations. And so we're modifying the process from what it is now to it receives additional scrutiny, and so that we can make sure that what we promised we're able to do. And then we're more likely than not going to stop accepting any applications for new main lines here in the next couple of weeks. And then the same with new service line installations. We're going to work on our backlog and then hopefully finish the construction season having fulfilled all of our requirements. LNG inventory is good. At the end of July, we were about 3.5 million gallons of inventory compared to, for example, last year when we were squeezing everything that we could out of Titan receiving cryopic loads, and we were barely at 3 million last year. This time, now we're taking it slow. We're only getting four deliveries a day because of the state of the road. We're going to have a shutdown. The harvest facility is going to shut down for 3 weeks for scheduled maintenance, again to coincide with the rainy season when the road is at its worst. It's going to be shut down for the first 3 weeks of September, after which we're going to increase the number of loads we receive per day and maintain LNG in storage in accordance with the chart that you've seen attached to the Finance Committee. I have some answers from some questions that we were unable to answer on the spot at the last meeting. Director Wall wanted to know about the last review of the bylaws that was in 2020, while it still had a 2015 reference in there. And we've confirmed that the version that the board last saw was the accurate version. The only change to the sunset section was to change it from a 3-year review to a 10-year review. Interesting information, Director Wilkin, you were interested about how much the wood cost from Aurora Energy, and when you take it all the way down and compare it on BTU to BTU basis, it's barely cheaper than natural gas. It's about $1 a million BTUs cheaper, so $27.54 per million BTUs compared to our residential cost of $24.88. And then I have the different, assuming it's birch, which is most of what they sell.
So it's not cheaper, it's more expensive?
We're more expensive.
Mm-hmm. No, we're cheaper,
right? That's not what you
thought. Oh!
We're cheaper.
Just see if I can double check my number before.
You have two numbers for birch, right? Two different numbers? 27.54 and
23.6. Yeah, it's 23.6 is not a dollar amount. It's 23 million BTUs per cord of wood. At $650 per cord, it's 27.54 per million BTUs. Okay. We're going to double check my number here really quickly, and then, yes, you're right. We were not able to find out how much they pay for the, how much Aurora Energy pays for the wood itself. The only publicly available information is how much it costs residential households to purchase wood, and we found the sales, the contracts to sell to them, but not the amounts. Those were not immediately publicly available. I'm sure they can be discoverable through a request for information. I didn't know that we needed to go that far. And then the new LNG, the first new LNG trailer arrived in Fairbanks on Monday. And as George said, you'll be available tomorrow if you have time to stop by between 5 and 7 to also see the new Metal Fork facility. It will be there. And that concludes my report. If Mr. Chair, you allow me to check my number, I can go after Zane.
That's okay. I don't know how crucial that is to us because they're going out of business. Anyway, so Zach, did you have more of a report?
No.
I want to make sure I did.
I mean, if there's, I can answer more questions if there are, but no, not a whole lot of report.
Okay, and that's fine. So, Zane, the attorney's report.
Sure. Let her get it up there. It had a little bit more activity this last month than we had the prior month. Everything I would say relatively non-eventful, nothing of particular, nothing stands out in any way really. Just kind of run-of-the-mill stuff we're dealing with. Unless anybody has particular questions, I can go into things a little bit further.
Sure.
Is the HR matter, is that dealing with an employee issue?
Yes. There was a termination at IGU, unfortunately, that we had to deal with.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, Gary?
I guess I'm a little surprised we just skip over the fact that wood is more expensive or less expensive than natural gas, because all this time we've always said Well, those wood burners, you know, they're just going to save money. And so we're going to refine that, and are we going to do something with that number?
She's going to recalculate.
No, not the number itself, but what the number suggests. All this time, we thought, well, those wood burners are saving money by burning wood.
Well, you know, I was over at Andy and Judy's a couple of weeks ago, and they were throwing usability wood on their fireplace, and they just like it.
Okay.
Eric?
Sorry, maybe
Eric?
For kind of teeing off of that conversation, I don't know where, I thought where you were going, Gary, was just in our previous communications, business development communications, we highlighted that for 3 years in a row we've held rates flat. Unlike other fixed costs, utility costs, is there potential for us to also fold in, you know, Aurora closing down, taking advantage of that, the fact that we're actually competitive with Birch at least, is there an opportunity, a business development, communication, marketing opportunity there too as well?
By the way, 99% of the wood developed over there is birch. So.
Yeah. Just about.
Chair?
Oh, Jeff.
Yeah, sorry about that. With the dry wood business ending this fall at the end of summer, from Aurora Energy, is there any way that we could kind of poach their list of customers and reach out to them and say, hey, you thought you were saving money with wood, and look, we can make you a better deal if you hook up to gas?
I don't know an easy way to get that list. We'll consider that.
Anything else, Jeff?
Yeah, because, you know, businesses or homes that were supplementing their heating with wood, clean burning wood, you know, it's going to add to the airshed challenge that we face in the interior. So we might approach it that way from the borough, maybe requesting a list of those customers so they could help them find a clean source of fuel for this upcoming winter. They might have more success as an entity like that, saying we're in the, you know, clean air business. We're being penalized otherwise.
Good idea. Thank you, Jim. Okay. We have reached the point of our meeting where directors request for information. Seeing none, let me see our marketing directors here. Let's see. Did you want to add anything to your marketing report?
No, but he's going to come, if the board allows, to the executive session.
Cool. Okay, I'm sure we will allow. Are we ready then to go into executive session? Jerry?
Mr. Chairman, I move to enter into executive session to discuss business development matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of Interior Gas Utility, to include the Board of Directors, General Manager Elena Sutta, Chief Financial Officer Zach Dameron, Business Development and Outreach Manager Bradley Byers, and Executive Assistant Erica Lowbrook.
Okay. Second?
Second.
And moved in second without objection. We are in executive session.
We are out of executive session, and I guess since I've done this to myself, a motion to close the regular meeting.
To adjourn the regular meeting.
Okay, second.
Without objection, we are adjourned. Thank you.